This is a journey into sound.
Hello!
What's shaking, bacon?
It's cooking, good looking. Welcome to my branch, my hood, my city.
My name is Alana. I'm 17 and a senior in high school.
And I am Yasmin, and I am 17 and a senior in high school as well.
And we will be your hosts for this podcast. We are both currently interns at the Woodson Regional Library, located 9525 South Austin in Chicago. And we are in the U-Media recording booth, which is also where the music you were just listening to was produced by local artist and team Cedric.
This library is pretty awesome because it has a Vivian Harsh Research Center, which is used by researchers and professors from all over the world. The information found here has been used in papers, books, and movies.
It's a place used by professionals, but it's open to everyone. We created this podcast to highlight a specific historical figure and tie his accomplishments with what's going on today in our neighborhoods in our city of Chicago.
Generally speaking, we also wanted to bring attention to the Chicago Public Library and what it has to offer.
So, the first thing we want to talk about was who Vivian Harsh was.
Who was she?
Vivian Harsh was the first Black librarian head in the Chicago Public Library System's Hall Branch. In 1921, she received a BA in Library Science and attended graduate school at the University of Chicago Graduate Program in Library Science. In the 1930s, she created a special Negro collection. Through her influence, she developed the hall location and collection as a research and program center for the Chicago Circle of Black Scholars and Activists. She won the support and assistance of writers, visual, and performing artists, and other community leaders. Ms. Harsh took her work very seriously. Her co-workers called her the lieutenant for her stern demeanor, and upon her death, she was praised as the historian who never wrote. Ooh.
So basically, what she did was become the first Black librarian in Chicago Public Library System who paved the way for other librarians to continue her work. She collected records, manuscripts, documents from influential people like Langston Hughes, Richard Wright, Arnold Boltemps, and Gwendolyn Book. Original papers relating to the art history and culture of Black people in Chicago to ensure that future generations will have the access to various aspects of African American history and culture, particularly as it relates to Chicago. The collections are very much appreciated and depict a group of people as progressive thinkers, creative agents of social change. The collections are important because without these documents of the past, how do you expect us to assess the present and create a better future?
Very, very true, Yasmin. Ms. Harsh's dedication to literacy, history, and culture is illustrated in a letter she received from Zora Neale Hurston, who was an American novelist, short story writer, folklorist, and anthropologist. She is best known for her novel, Their Eyes Were Watching God. I have the letter. She wrote to Miss Harsh, "My dear Miss Harsh, I shall be very glad to meet with your club on the evening of November 7th. It gives me great pleasure to know that you included Jonas Gourvine on your program last year. Thank you for your interest and kind letter. I am sincerely Zora Neale Hurston." This letter illustrates what a tireless educator she was. She really influenced the African American community in Chicago by providing valuable resources.
To this podcast. How can someone access all this lovely stuff? Well, like Alana said earlier, the research center is used by professionals, but it is still open to everyone. You can come in and sit at a desk, use your computer if you like,
or you can ask one of the librarians to look at the papers for a specific historical figure, topic, or subject. All you got to do is just come in, use the computers in the space to look up that person and their manuscript, and then you'll have to find the boxes that you think are interesting, and then give those lists of boxes to the librarians. Once you give them that, they'll give you a small piece of paper for you to fill out, and then you have to give them your ID or your library card. After all of that is taken care of, all you got to do is just wait for them to unlock the reading room and let you in.
So when we used the research center and looked through a collection, it was really easy. We looked through the catalog for the finding aid. We identified the specific boxes to request for viewing, and we filled out the forms. And we should note that the forms are really just a half sheet of paper, so it's not a lot of paperwork at all. Then we handed over our IDs and went to the Harsh Manuscript Reading Room. And a couple of extra things to remember is that flash photography isn't allowed in there. You have to wear gloves if you're looking at pictures, and you can only look at one box at a time. Research Center, Captain Walter Diet. Walter Diet was known for being a band instructor, music educator, and prominent figure in the development of jazz and black music in Chicago. He was born in 1901 in St. Joseph, Missouri, and young Diet studied the violin at Pasadena High School in California. He graduated in 1917 at the age of 16. After high school, he enrolled in the pre-med program at the University of Chicago.
He played in military and local bands to help pay for his education at the Illinois School of Medicine, and he realized that his true passion was music, and he left medical school to pursue his dream full-time. He became a musician and a private school instructor of violin and music theory. Eventually, he got his first job as a music instructor at Wendell Phillips High School. But unfortunately, after a massive fire there, he moved to teaching music and band at DuSable High School. Eventually, he began organizing concerts with professional and high school musicians at hospitals around Chicago.
Using the research center earlier, and now we want to talk about what we found when we were in there. There is a total of 21 boxes in the Walter Diet collection, and Yasmin and I looked through almost all of them. We wanted to share what we found interesting in the third and 17th box of the collection, so I'll go first. In one of the first boxes we pulled, I found a manuscript of a piece written by Diet on May 4th, 1969, and it's titled Music Week and You. In this piece, he's giving his very strong and poetic view on music and its significance and the importance of Music Week itself. I just wanted to read a couple of things I jotted down from the piece. These are his words. Diet says, "Music is an important part of living. It's the universal language of the ages. Through music, we see with our ears and hear with our eyes." He goes on to say, "Music is untouchable, but it touches the soul of man. It is itself without emotion, but it stirs the emotions." Another thing he said that I liked was that music is life itself. Life exists only as long as basic rhythms exist. I really like this piece because it's relatable to the times. Music is everything in today's society. It's all we do. It's our life. You see people on the bus with headphones, people listen to music when they're at home bored. People quote lyrics on social media because it's either related to something they're going through or because a lyric just speaks to them. Music is played in stores and it makes the shopping experience better because you always have that song you can sing while looking for your favorite cereal or shopping for a new outfit. Music is really untouchable. You can truly tell from this piece how seriously Diet took his career and how passionate he was about the things he was doing.
Bam. Another part of the collection that we looked at was a piece called Experience and Activity Sheet. Kind of looked like a resume, didn't have all the dates and headings though. So basically it talked about like the major stars that he had worked with, which was like Nat King Cole and Dorothy Donegan. It talked about how he was a leader of the 8th Infantry Band at the Illinois National Guard. He's also the chairman of the music department at DuSable, and he served as a member of the executive board of directors. He developed and conducted a 45-piece concert unit at the Illinois Research Hospital, Chicago State Hospital, Cook County Psych Hospital, and many others.
I also found a newspaper clipping that I thought was cool from the Chicago Bee. And it was a little segment written about Captain Diet. It highlighted all his accomplishments and showed how great he was. The article talks of him teaching nationally known artists such as Dorothy Dondergan and Ray Nance and Jesse Miller. It mentions his outstanding academic career and ends with what they say his motto was, which is, "The best is none too good, strive ever to improve." This is really inspiring. When I first read this, I was like, dang, he was pretty lit with his academics. And he put DuSable High School, which is still around today, in the top 10 for music for 6 years straight. When it came to music, I do believe he could do it all. And like I said earlier, Diet is so relatable to the current times because there's such a passion for music today. And there are a lot of artists today in Chicago that are trying to pursue music careers but aren't going through their academics and schooling. Not to say that they necessarily have to, but I believe music in any field is important. And if you want to be the best at something, you have to be educated in that field. And Diet is a prime example of that.
Well, another piece that caught our attention was called Blacks in Music, and it talked about the shortage of qualified Negro musicians in large popular symphonies and orchestras. So they asked different type of Black musicians why they believe this shortage existed, and so the Black musicians replied by stating that there was a lack of role models 20 years ago when they were little kids for Black children to see in the musical field. So therefore, not many musicians sought out and went out into this field in school, and those who did are the reason that there are a few instead of none in the symphonies and orchestras that they were in at that time. It was also brought up that there were no programs available to aid the Blacks who drop out around the ages of 14 to 16 in order to support their family in schools such as Juilliard and New England Conservatory of Music, which are like big-time musician schools or whatever.
Yeah.
In most schools that hold like 500 musicians, there were only around 30 Black musicians. But today, there are African-American musicians in multiple genres, but there are still very few in prime orchestras and symphonies.
And in a clipping from the Chicago Defender on February 14th, 1953, which is Valentine's Day, there was an article titled "Captain Diet and Band Share Stellar Program." It talks about Walter Diet and George sharing a one-night performance at Perishing High School. Along with the music, the program would serve as an honors night for both musicians. Diet was listed in both Who's Who in Colored America and Who's Who in Music.
In a different newspaper clipping, there was a picture of Walter Diet, Holmes, Daddy-O Daly, and Nat King Cole. Diet was presenting Cole with a plaque at the DuSable High School, where Diet was one of Nat King Cole's piano teachers. And the plaque read, "To Nat King Cole, our ambassador of goodwill and appreciation for his untiring efforts in the advancement of race relations, DuSable High School." And the crowd was filled with Walter Diet's current students at that time.
All the way down to Waka Flocka. Many modern artists use the music samples of artists from the last century in their songs, sometimes by way of catchy beat or clever lyric. Another more recent example, rap artist Jay-Z has big influences in his music. Songs like "Excuse Me, Miss" have been impacted by Biggie's style and lyrics. Nas has a song called "Can't Forget About You," which has a direct connection to Nat King Cole's song Unforgettable. Our evolved culture still has traces of old school jazz musicians that were taught by Captain Diet. After all this time, his good works continue to help artists create a certain caliber of memorable music for us to enjoy today. Much like Captain Diet's music was influenced by the community and culture in Black Chicago, artists today continue this tradition by addressing social and cultural concerns of the community and celebrating the neighborhood in which they grew up. With this in mind, let's take a few minutes to discuss what's going on in our neighborhood and the city and the music that is currently being produced by current artists.
Can see our future isn't headed in the best direction. However, there are certain places that provide a safe haven for people, such as this fine library.
Definitely. Coming to the library can be a great, relaxing experience to educate yourself and use the resources provided. Artists like Chance the Rapper, Nat King Cole, and Kendrick Lamar have always found a way to create music that relates to the issues facing us today, as well as become involved in projects in the community, such as the UMedia Center.
We have to sit back and ask ourselves, why have we been fighting for the same things since the 1600s, and why do we continually accept the laws that they say are for our protection, but somehow turn around and become something totally unsafe?
We have to look at the foundation of things. If a house continually falls over or falls apart, no matter what kind of material you use, then what's wrong with the house? Nothing. However, the blueprints that mapped out the base plans for the house failed to consider the property that the house will be built on. The very foundation needs to be reworked.
Similarly, the documents that began to lay out the laws for people to follow so many centuries ago have failed to consider an entire race of people.
So therefore, our house continues to fall, and our people continue to fall.
We must understand that the laws that are meant to protect us and the Constitution that states all men are created equal was not made for us, but around us.
That's why these collections are so important. Education and documentation is crucial. Shout out to Jesse Williams, Yara Shahidi, and Amalda Stenberg because they are educated activists. It is imperative to learn our history in order to accurately secure the safety of our future.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yes.
The resources are here and available at the Woodson Regional Library for everyone of all ages and walks.
Like to give thanks to the After School Matters program as well as the staff of Woodson Library, specifically Rodney Freeman, Woodson Regional Library Director, Harsh Archivist Moseyman, and Tracy, and Lawanda for giving us the opportunity to do this podcast.
We'd also like to give thanks to Mac for his technical support and the young artist Cedric for allowing us to use his music during this podcast.
Feel free to comment and tell us your thoughts on Captain Diet and what you think about his connection to what's happening today. Thanks for listening.
This is Yasmin and Alana signing off from My Branch, My Hood, My City. Peace out, fam.